You're with us for the morning show. I'm Kate Archer Kent. Memorial Day weekend typically drives customers to restaurants across the state, but this year was no typical holiday weekend. Since the state Supreme Court overturned the Safer at Home statewide order 2 weeks ago, restaurants and bars, they've all taken their own approach to what feels right in the age of social distancing, and then negotiating city and county orders along the way. Do you plan on resuming your pre-pandemic routines, or will you continue to shelter in place? Did you visit a bar or restaurant after the order was lifted? What was it like? We're at 800-642-1234. Luke Zahm is a James Beard-nominated chef and owner of the Driftless Cafe in Viroqua. He's the host of Wisconsin Foodie. Luke, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Hey, thanks for having me. It's an honor and a privilege to be here.
Well, we last talked with you in mid-March, right after the governor had ordered restaurants to stop in-person dining. What has it been like since we last talked?
Yeah, it's... I don't know. Sometimes the words just even, it fails me. It's been rough. It's really, there have been some really good things. I want to start there. You know, taking a 60-day break after, you know, pushing, in our case, for 8 years on our restaurant, it really gave us a chance to evaluate and take a hard look at why we do what we do. And what does it mean for us to have people come into a restaurant? And I think the silver lining in that conversation is, for us, we are here to evangelize for the farmers of Wisconsin. We are here to introduce people to the vegetables, the fruits, the coffee, the dairy, the things that we can sometimes take for granted in our food sheds, to people who are excited or maybe unaware of how culturally significant our food is. So in that regard, we have become laser focused on that piece of our restaurant identity. The other part is the awareness that, you know, people may not need what we've provided up to this point. I had a really amazing mentor in Judy Faulkner, the founder and CEO of Epic Systems, and she had a banner over her desk that said, "What got you here won't get you there." Mm-hmm. And I think for a lot of restaurateurs and a lot of people that we've been talking to, we're all kind of applying that philosophy. What got us to where we are will not get us in the next chapter. And in that regard, it's extremely unsettling. It's as the governor indicated, a little bit like the Wild West.
In the chapter that you're in right now, the Driftless Cafe is back open. Is that right?
We are open for curbside and takeout.
Okay.
We wanted to make sure that in our community, you know, we're a fairly small city, 4,362 people. We knew that our statistics trend to attracting people from Madison, Minneapolis, Chicago, and Milwaukee. As a matter of fact, on Friday and Saturday night, 62% of our credit card transactions are from those municipalities. So we know that when we open the door, we are going to be bringing people in from higher density population areas that may possibly be carriers of the virus. And we want to make sure that we have taken all the precautions necessary to keep our community, our staff, and then our customers safe. So, no, we're not technically open yet.
When you did close, you had brought employees back in, gave them one last paycheck, and sent them with the perishable food in your kitchen. How are your employees making it?
You know, I think some of them are great. I can honestly say, and maybe this is to a detriment to the whole industry. I mean, right now with the unemployment stimulus that's coming through, which is an additional $600 per week per applicant, I have some employees that are making more consistent money and steady money than they did when they were working. Mm. And I don't think that that's, you know, Ruthie and I really carry that piece in our heart. But we actually pay pretty well for our restaurant. I think that that's difficult to come to ask people to come back now into this phase of uncertainty. So we've brought back maybe, you know, I think it's like 20% of our staff. We've brought out a furlough. And the other piece that's really been taxing is, folks in the last 60 days have had a lot of time to process and have had a lot of time, you know, to let the momentum of the restaurant kind of fall away. And we have actually lost some people because they feel like the response to the pandemic is such an overreach that they are choosing to participate in a completely different part of their lives. And, you know, while that's okay, some attrition is natural. Sometimes, you know, people won't agree with the decisions that are being made in an organization like ours. It's really hard because we hold those people as family in our hearts.
Right. Those customers who come to dine with you again and again, you make sure that that continues to be a regular occurrence. You want to be a part of what they think about when they eat out. What happens if you do make a lot of changes to inside your restaurant and then either, you know, the customers don't come or you just, you know, can't seem to make it with, you know, 25% capacity?
Yeah. Well, the first thing that I do want to say is, you know, on the 25% capacity piece, I think that most good restaurateurs, and I would go so far as to say almost all good restaurateurs, have a metric in their head for the number of seats, like the amount of money that you need to capitalize on per seat in the restaurant. So, for example, the cafe is 88 seats at normal capacity. With social distancing measures in place, the most seats we can get in there safely is 52. 52 doesn't pay my bills. It pays a portion of them, but over time, that's not a winning financial solution. So right now what we're doing is we are diligently trying to create outdoor dining spaces. We are having to get creative with how we bring people in. We have to be creative in, like, really maximizing the potential for in-house dining and bringing people in safely, but maybe asking, you know, if you're going to be a party of 10, we are going to group you together in a space that might be a little bit tighter than we would normally like. But because you all have kind of made this social contract with each other to come out to eat and dine together, it allows us to at least have a little bit of indemnification. If one of you in your party gets sick, you're not going to make the whole restaurant sick. The risk, obviously, is that we're borrowing money to make these changes in our restaurant. Restaurant margins are so incredibly slim. So, you know, the upside on our best days is that, okay, we're going to do something to be able to still evangelize for the farmers and the food producers of Wisconsin, and this restaurant has, you know, community implications, it has social implications, and we believe in all those things. The downside is that, you know, we are taking on more debt, personally, Ruthie and I are, in the hope that our message is still relevant and in the hope that our customers are safe and they're excited to come back, and they're excited to experience the bounty of what this region is producing.
Luke Zahm is with us, owner and chef at Driftless Cafe in Viroqua. He also hosts Wisconsin Foodie on PBS Wisconsin. Getting your insights on restaurants and where they're at in your community. Are you going to restaurants? Are they open or are they doing curbside? How are they negotiating this time? How are you patronizing them? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Let's bring in Monique now, joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Monique.
Hello.
Hi, what's your situation?
I work in a small restaurant, and I'm a mother of children out of MPS right now, and we are trying to do our best to continue to order from small businesses as well. But as a worker in one, I just can't believe how many people just are so angry that we wear masks or that we are not opening our doors to let them inside. And as the last gentleman said, we are having lots of people who are telling us through their car windows, oh, I drove up from Chicago, which I thought was still under lockdown, but I'm not there, so I'm not 100%, which makes me even more uncomfortable for when we do decide to open our patio, which is on June 15th at the restaurant I work at, it makes me nervous about who's coming out from different places, who is carrying this, and they are not wearing masks or gloves when they open their windows to speak to us and collect their food.
Monique, thank you for bringing your situation. Luke Zahm, Monique, her small restaurant is opening up patio service on June 15th, and that seems really scary to Monique.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, to speak to the, like, it's really frustrating, I can say honestly. When we made the decision after the Supreme Court Safer at Home ruling was overturned, Ruthie actually went online, my wife and the general manager of the cafe, and said, hey, you know what, we are not actually going to open our doors right away. We want to make sure that we go through this in stages that we can control. And that actually triggered a response from an Open Wisconsin group that, you know, we started getting phone calls of people who were irate about the fact that the cafe wasn't just opening its doors and it's free for everybody to come in and there are no rules. And that was really confusing. I mean, there was a day when we were trying to schedule people to come in and take reservations and get our business going. And then we would have people calling and telling us how much they hated our decision and how this is ridiculous. And that's just overwhelming.
That added a lot of stress to an already stressful situation as a restaurant owner.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And it's really defeating and kind of soul-crushing in that regard. And at the cafe right now, we are, you know, much like Monique said, we're gearing up. June 11th is the first day that we plan on being open for the dining public. But, I mean, I literally have crews working right now trying to build walls and partitions and places that we can get people through the restaurant safely, because we can't actually trust that everyone knows the right thing to do. So we have to be that steward.
We have chef and restaurant owner Luke Zahm with us as we talk about dining out. We'll be back in just a moment. Stay with us on the Ideas Network. It's the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Some restaurants gave their best shot at curbside pickup. Now some are focused on expanding patio seating. We're looking at how the restaurant industry is adjusting amid the pandemic. How do you feel about dining out? Still time to talk. 800-642-1234. We have Luke Zahm, who is the host of Wisconsin Foodie and a restaurant owner in Viroqua. He stays with us. Let's take another call now. Chris is with us from Appleton. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
Hi, and I understand that you work in a sub shop.
I do, as a delivery driver and in shop, I don't know, assistant or helper.
How is it for you?
Horrible. People seem to just, so I want to concur with the previous caller who said that people get angry. They really do. They get angry for no reason. Well, because they can't get their fast food. They ignore all the signs and precautions that we ask them to take. When we were closed to in-shop dining, they would ignore the two signs through two separate doors that say, please do not enter, please just call us, and we'll bring your food out. It's dumbfounding.
Luke, it's hard to maintain order, even with clarity in signage, Chris says.
Yeah, you know, and I have to say to both Chris and Monique, first and foremost, you know, as brothers and sisters in the hospitality industry, like, it's gut check time. It's our job to provide experiences for people. And, you know, food is this common uniter among all of us. We all have to eat. And, you know, if I can just reach out even on, like, an emotional level and say, while this is extremely frustrating and scary, you know, we can't go back. Obviously, we're not scientists in that regard. People are going to believe different things than maybe we hold true. But, you know, if you can try and take some of that negativity away and some of the fear, I think I see people acting out of fear right now more than I ever have in my entire life. And I think, honestly, one of the things that's the most frustrating is that there isn't guidance coming from local health departments or state health departments. When the Safer at Home was overturned in my county, the health department issued an order stating that we don't need an order. We know what to do. Well, that's fantastic. Yes, I do know what to do because I live in a rural part of Wisconsin. You know, 9 times out of 10, I can hang out on our house or at our house or on our farm, and I'll be okay. But folks coming in from the outside don't know what to do. And without any guidance there, they put people like Chris, like Monique, like my staff and me at risk. And my staff, I have 64 people, and literally there's no health insurance. We don't have access to the health care. So when you come into a restaurant and you're not feeling well, you're not only going to expose other customers, but for the people who are in the service industry and often are underserved in that industry, you know, we carry that risk too. And you can understand, hopefully, as a consumer, as a diner, that we might be afraid. We don't have the answers to this, and I don't think anyone does. And quite frankly, if there are answers, they're not being disseminated in a way that we can understand them and be able to react to them accordingly. So as a hospitality worker, yes, I am afraid. If you don't follow social distancing guidelines, I am afraid. It makes me feel like all the effort that we're taking could be for naught, and it's the people that I depend on that are going to be the ones that get sick.
Chris, thank you for the call. Let's bring in Rob now in Green Bay. Hi, Rob.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Sure.
So I manage a local restaurant in Green Bay, and I definitely echo a number of the sentiments of the previous callers. I just want to try and make a couple of quick, concise points, but it's definitely unprecedented times, and we're dealing with challenges that we've never seen before, and we're trying to navigate that the best we can. For us personally here at Hinterland Brewery in Green Bay, we have the opportunity to do takeout initially, but the numbers just didn't make sense. We did get some emergency funding, including the Paycheck Protection Program, which enabled us to do takeout and delivery for the last 3 weeks, and we've kind of focused on that and optimized that. And we did just reopen after, through the whole process of the 5-6 weeks that we were down or doing takeout delivery, we've implemented a number of new protocols and operational procedures to mitigate the risks that this new environment is presenting to us.
Rob, how many of these decisions fall on your shoulders as manager of Hinterland Brewery? How many decisions are you having to make regarding public health?
So we have a management team that we, as well as our owners, that are the final decision-making. But our management team and our owners is very collaborative in the process. As Luke said, the unfortunate thing right now is there's no specific guidelines. The good thing is there are guidelines out there. The Evers administration did put together actually very excellent comprehensive with the business consortium to have opening guidelines and guidelines in place with the Badger Bounce Back Plan and the further opening for business. We're utilizing all those guidelines, although you don't have to. And that's the problem, is that it's not consistent across the state as to what each facility can do. So you go into one and they're wide open and doing whatever, and you come into our place and we're 50% capacity and we have signage and directional all over and plexiglass partitions in places where we can't achieve social distancing. And that inconsistency is the issue and trying to get across the message.
Rob, thank you for bringing that. Luke Zahm, inconsistency, a big issue there at Hinterland Brewery in Green Bay.
Yeah, I mean, first and foremost, Rob, you run a great restaurant. I know some fantastic chefs that have come out of there, Dan Van Wright. And I do think also the city of Green Bay has been fairly proactive in trying to really instill a sense of security and a sense of well-being. And the WEDC, the guidelines that you referenced, the Badger Bounce Back Program, that has been basically like the playbook that we're all trying to follow. But you're absolutely correct. When customers come in, and all marketing data shows that when there's customer confusion, usually the sales go down. Customers want to feel from the moment they walk in the door, it's one of our hospitality principles anyway, that we want to be saying yes as soon as possible. It helps people feel seen. It helps people feel valued. And when you're saying yes in those environments, that's when you really start to generate good sales and momentum. With some of the social distancing pieces being inconsistent, restaurateurs are being forced to say no or to give guidance in areas where we're not exactly clear what the ramifications may be. Go ahead.
Luke, I'm wondering, you know, as we've heard so much about disruptions to food supply chains, are you noticing food prices climbing for you?
Yes, we are definitely noticing food prices climbing. But we're also seeing, because we live in a largely agricultural area, we're all seeing kind of the backside, where suddenly for some of our hog producers, it's not viable to carry a herd anymore. They know that they're not going to be able to schedule slaughtering. I actually got an email from a farmer in Sharon, Wisconsin, selling animals, whole full-grown hogs, for $150. And you bought them and you got them off of their farm because they didn't have processing available. The trick was they had 2,200 animals that they were trying to get rid of. There are problems all across this chain right now where we can't actually get some of the proteins out. And then our small farmers, because farmers markets have been affected and they don't have restaurants to be able to sell it to, they're sitting on a lot of crops that they're going to waste, or they're ending up in food pantries, which is not a waste. That's a great step, but it's not a profitable step. So for the next couple weeks here at least, and maybe even through the course of this entire growing season, we're going to start to see disruptions in that supply chain, and pricing is definitely going to be a symptom of that disruption.
Luke, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. It's, like I said, it's an honor and a pleasure to be here. And, you know, we'll get through this together, and we'll keep moving forever forward.
Take care. Luke Zahm is a James Beard nominated chef, owner of Driftless Cafe in Viroqua. He's host of Wisconsin Foodie. Just ahead, it's On Point. The president has fired at least 5 inspectors general. It may be his right, but what impact will it have on accountability and democracy? On Point is next with that. I'm Kate Archer Kent. This is The Morning Show. You're listening to the Ideas Network.